producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Weekend. Unfortunately, it didn't end with a win for Team USA. We'll dive into it at the tail end of this hour. Needless to say, it still was a wonderful performance. But oh, the end of that game made you want to cry. Escaping with the point, now at 4 in their group. What does it all mean? We'll tell you about it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Maybe some of you were watching World Cup soccer. I find that people who aren't even sports fans have tuned in, gotten some of that American pride going, and they want to see what happens with the team. So they're watching and trying to understand and very, very excited about Team USA. Needless to say, they're starting to know some of the people on the team. So how about that? In the meantime, it's all about Iraq. As part of the Sunday Swirl, which is what I call the political talking heads, not a surprise. All of the buzz was over the president's strategy in Iraq, and did he blow it, and does this mean boots on the ground, and what does this mean for us once again to be in the middle of seemingly the endless struggles that go on in the Middle East? Let's face it. We stepped into this in the first place, a religious war between the Shias, the Sunnis especially, and then throw in the Kurds, and what an elixir that is. And you look and you see what's happening in and around Baghdad, and the fact that now we've got 300 troops headed there, really special forces, but have others not too far away, just in case, just in case. And everybody wants to know, what is ISIS all about? What is this group of Islamic terrorists? Where do they come from? How come we've never heard of them before? And what is it about this group that's particularly evil? I'd say we could answer that question in 2 seconds. I got a couple of emails asking me that very thing. How much money they have? How are they funded? That kind of thing. And you've got to think of cutting off heads and putting them on stakes and hanging people on display just to hang them to show, well, we can do this. The seizure of Mosul, the Iraq's second largest city, what happened in Tikrit, and the push toward Baghdad, and the hatred that ISIS has for al-Maliki and the Shias and the government that Iraq has formed. The Islamic State in that country and in nearby Syria is thriving and being built to a higher level. That's why you have the civil war. I mean, you know, it's, you forget, look what's happened in Syria all of a sudden because so many other things have happened. That ongoing civil war has been how long now? How many people have been killed? And now you see that that same thing is starting to happen in Iraq. And when the U.S. forces bolted, they took all of the intelligence with them, all the smart guys that knew what was happening in that country, all of our guys, in other words, went by the boards. So now the Iraqis had to pretty much do it on their own. And that's a big part of what's happened, I think, in that country, the capability of the Iraqis, the capability of their professional soldiers, their ways to gather intelligence. And so then what happens is the Sunnis are furious that they're not included. They're furious at what's happening in the country. So they just start to grow in numbers. And ISIS has been around. But they steal money in Mosul. They steal it in other places. And now they have the most loot of any of the terror groups out there. The most. well over $400 million so they can recruit. And Abu al-Baghdadi graduated to the top gig, you could say, because he's the man that ISIS looks to. And now, he's got bloodlust. He's all over any jihadi or jihadist websites. And this is a guy who's, you know, he's no dummy. In fact, I was talking to somebody about his background over the weekend, and apparently he's got a doctorate in Islamic studies. And he started forming his own groups long before he joined Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He even at one point served a couple of years, because I know you know his name, in a prison camp, a U.S. prison camp for insurgents in southern Iraq. So you can imagine how his network flourished from there and how that ideology really, really spread. And ultimately, what is ISIS trying to accomplish? Well, they're trying to accomplish Sharia law. They're trying to establish it. They're trying to separate the boys and the girls at schools. Women have to wear the full veil in public. Brutal justice is what Sharia is about. Brutal justice. And that's what the goal is. That's what the goal is. So the cells have hunted down and have found the sources, the money they needed, and now they're trying to assassinate as many police as they can to get rid of the Iraqi military, whatever it is, whatever it takes. Now enters the U.S. and our smart guys and our special forces who have the intelligence capability. So what happens now with these cities under siege in that country? I mean, it's so dramatic. The upheaval. And more than anything, it's strategic and it's about humanitarian reasons. But what happens if the unthinkable happens and it just continues to explode and the special forces can only do so much? Then how do you feel? What happens if we get word that some of the special forces that have gone in that are really there for strategic purposes are injured, are, God forbid, killed? This is a high price that we're paying. And, you know, we're talking about strict Sharia code that they're trying to push throughout the country. So this is a giant battlefield, an ideological battlefield, one that they've been strengthening for some time, and they're backing it up with violence. They're backing it up. They're recruiting foreign fighters. They're much more organized than they've ever been, And al-Baghdadi, they say, has been sending many, many, many operatives or intelligence gatherers for his army for at least the last 3 or 4 years. So I don't think this is going to be an easy thing to crack like some people seem to think. What do you think, America? You want to throw in your 2 cents? We've just kicked open the lid of this week of America Tonight. 855-266-5283. Meet you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Amanda Bolso here from Midas Resources. Today, June 10th, 2014, gold opened at $1,261.10. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,307.17, $653.59 for a half ounce, or $326.79 for a quarter ounce. Again, that's $1,307.17, $653.59, and $326.79.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Going to be party time, and we were talking round of 16 when I cracked open the mic for USA against Portugal with a big win. Boy, it certainly was looking that way. We'll give you all the gory details coming up. Plus, speaking of gory details, one U.S. soccer player who really put herself on the map for a whole bunch of reasons now is in a very strange domestic violence case, and it's almost like a Jerry Springer episode. I mean, almost like it. And I won't tell you anything. We'll save it for the tail end. But needless to say, you might remember the name Hope Solo. Her lawyer says she's innocent, but her sister and her 17-year-old nephew might have something different to say, as they had marks on their bodies from the abuse. Oh, my. Crazy. It is. It is a crazy story. And then also the great story of Michelle Wee, who picks up her first major by winning the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. You know, just after the men had their thing, the women had theirs. And you remember Michelle Wee. There was so much buildup to her as a kid. And then people were disappointed at some of her finishes. And then she started to finish well on the tour again. But anyway, it's a very, very big win for her. immigration. Is it a winning strategy for anyone who dips into politics of wanting to be the president? I think a lot of strategists feel like got to get a definite message when it comes to immigration, especially because we're having all of the nonsense at the border, which has not even been described totally as to what's happening there. You know, we think it's all kids, and there are a lot of kids, but there are also a lot of gang members that are pouring in. The most destructive thing, I think, of all are these ads in the Mexican newspapers and in Central America basically saying, hey, come get a free pass, come to America, you know, where go to America where you can send money back to your family and it's the land of opportunity. And it's, you know, not these nice people being taken advantage of necessarily by the coyotes, but also some of the very, very worst that any of those countries have to offer that are getting in to the United States with this sort of open door policy or lack of enforcement because we're overwhelmed in some areas. And it's creepy and scary and downright dangerous, I think, for a lot of people who live in the border areas, but they're also moving way beyond the border. So Rand Paul hadn't said too much lately with everything happening, especially in the last couple of weeks, but he was also part of the Sunday Swirl. He was on the NBC Meet the Press show, and he said he's not backing down on his call for immigration reform, even though Eric Cantor, the majority leader, was defeated by an unknown Tea Party candidate, which just sent shockwaves through the Republican Party. He said that the status quo cannot hold and that there has to be some kind of serious conversation about immigration reform. But he didn't say anything about pushing for a legal path to citizenship, just we have to do something. And he said the same thing that, you know, we always talk about, border security, that has to happen first. And then he says there should be something that allows people who want to work in the country, who are here to say, we will find you a place if you want to work, and we'll link it to work. That's what we'll do. And he said, at this point, this is a quote from him, at this point, I don't think any type of immigration reform will get out of Washington that includes a path to citizenship. But I do think that there is a path to secure border and an expanded work visa program. You know, I mean, this is just an unbelievable crisis in Texas. You definitely still have the kids coming in. You have all the kids that are coming in, streaming across the border, some of them crazy ages, you know, like 5 and 6. Think of your kid when they were in kindergarten and imagine them on that journey. I don't think so. And then what happens once they get over? So the talk of immigration, is it a dream killer when it comes to any Republican candidate who wants to be president or who wants to get reelected? And I think Paul was very careful as to what he said, that he emphasized again and again, I'm for immigration reform, but I insist you secure the border first, because if you have a beacon of some kind of forgiveness without a secure border, the whole world will come in. And exactly, Senator Paul, that's what's happening right now. We've seen it in front of our own faces. I mean, listen, you can look at the video. You can see the photographs. It's not made up nonsense or twisted into ridiculous numbers. It is exactly what's happening. But because of Dave Brat's win in Virginia, there are some who are concerned about what it means to say you're for immigration reform that includes some kind of citizenship thing or some kind of staying in America or visa or, you know, that kind of stuff, since Cantor did not bend on immigration. He supported the DREAM Act proposal, the pathway to citizenship for children who were brought into the United States illegally. So do you think that Rand Paul, who actually has gotten a lot of compliments, who has a lot of young people who are interested in perhaps voting for him because he has a libertarian bent, so smaller government, a lot of those kinds of thoughts, a lot of what he's pushed for since he's been on the Hill in the short time. And now saying that, you know, there has to be a secure border, he keeps emphasizing that, but maybe an expanded work visa program. There's got to be an easier way to do this. And it's just an example of what happens when you let things get to beyond the boiling point. Because this didn't have to be this kind of an issue that where it was out of control. It didn't have to be that many people, that much that was tied up resource-wise, because it's just not fair. Here is the problem that I would say to a guy who I really like, Senator Rand Paul or anyone else on the Hill. It is a wicked predicament now at this point. But how can we continue to cripple local economies and have people who are not making a lot of money pay the price for what has failed miserably in D.C.? Nothing that was ever proposed goes through. Nothing really happens. A few extra Border Patrol agents, a few tough cops who, by the way, are controversial, and some people hate Sheriff Joe, but that's why he's such a stickler for the way he handles Arizona, his portion of Arizona, because he saw what happened over and over and over again. I mean, so this is the thing. We're beyond the breaking point. So you want people to pay more for health care, and then they're having a tough time paying those premiums. They're not getting the coverage they got before. It's slim pickings. It really is. And then when people are stringing jobs together, what do you want from them? They got the degree, they did the thing they were supposed to do, but geez, the company couldn't afford it anymore, so then they downsized because of XYZ. And a lot of it comes back to immigration because in some areas, it is just that crippling. I've told this story before, but just in a brief plane ride that I had going to Grenada, I talked to two people. One was a principal, they were a husband and wife, one was a principal, was a teacher, and they were in Kansas City, and they were telling me just how awful it is there. And the problems with the Spanish and the English and the kids who don't speak, they come to school and they're hungry. But all the resources that are spent, and then what about the other kids who are not coming from wealthy families, but too bad, tough tiddlywinks, they aren't the people that are part of the immigration system. And that's really, really wrong. And that's happening in schools. There's a problem with hospitals with that. I mean, we do have to do something. We do have to have not fake reform, real reform. 855-266-5283. Back with you in a few.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. Legal. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Lion and Judah, tree sparked him like Buddha, free man in Liberia, back to the future.
Nothing. Welcome back to America. Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A big shout out to all the nooks and crannies. We've been talking about this, obviously, for weeks now. The situation, what the strategy is going to be, what's happening, what happened in the past with Iraq, and where we're headed from there. Very thrilled to welcome to this show somebody who has a massive amount of experience. In fact, that he's taking on the road next week. He's going to be in London to talk about British security and whatnot. Dr. Harlan Ullman, and he's the author of several books, including America's Promise Restored, Preventing Culture Crusade, and Partisanship from Wrecking Our Nation. That was a great book, one of the many that I read, and the author of Shock and Awe. And we're talking about the situation in the Middle East and particularly Iraq. Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure, believe me.
So with all the experience you have, and it would take us an hour to go through all of it, but you have amazing amounts of experience when it comes to national security and foreign policy and terror and defense and economics and the finance of it all. I mean, you are a career naval officer who led countless combat missions in Vietnam and whatnot, and also you commanded a destroyer in the Persian Gulf. You look at the situation now in Iraq and where we are, and if you had to be one of the many people, let's say, in the war room, and you were kind of melding this strategy of where do we go from here, as you look at overall what's happening now, what would be some of the first steps you would take?
First of all, I take a deep breath. And I would say, look, the situation is not necessarily as critical as everybody is making it. Unfortunately, in Washington, anytime anything happens, it's the worst crisis since. The situation in Iraq is not good. The Maliki government is really bad news. They brought this upon themselves. What we're seeing was a predictable civil war. But the first thing that we have to do is to step back and look at the region extending from Libya in the Mediterranean all the way to the Persian Gulf, to Iran, to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and just say, okay, what's happening here? We have a series of potential conflicts, any one of which can explode, but we don't have any kind of an overarching plan. And many of these situations are linked. For example, what's happening in Syria and what's happening in Iraq cannot be divided. It's basically the same issue. And we have to realize that there are huge amounts of contradictions and that the United States has done some pretty stupid things to put us in this position. For example, if we decide that we're going to help the Maliki government, and I would oppose that, but if we were, the Maliki government is a Shia government, which is being supported by Iraq, which is also supporting Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So all of a sudden, we're going to be supporting the Shia in a major conflict with the Sunnis, and the Sunnis constitute basically a billion of the 1.3 or 1.4 members of Islam. One could regard that as kind of a really contradictory position if you didn't have a strategy. Now, the overarching thing we have to realize is that based on history, the only time occupations work is if they last. We still have American forces in Germany who lost World War II. We still have American forces in Japan who lost World War II. We still have American forces in South Korea after the Korean War that ended in 1953. My point being that you just can't get in and out. We got in and out even though it was a matter of 7 or 8 years in Iraq, and it's going to be about a dozen years in Afghanistan. So what we have to realize is that we have to rely on other people, and we have to rely on other types of strategies. And so the strategy that I would propose right now in the Middle East is that somehow we have to bring together the Sunni and Shia so we don't make enemies of both. The way to do that is, it seems to me, to have discussions with Iran where the key issue is the nuclear negotiations. We do not want Iran to get a nuclear weapon. And it seems to me the situation in Iraq is such that we might be able to use that in a way to induce Iran to move more quickly in terms of giving up all of its nuclear weapons, or it should say its ambitions. The reason that's important, because if we don't do that, the chances of some kind of an attack by Israel and or the United States are very large. But at the same time, I think we have to work with the Saudis, which are a major Sunni country, as well as Israel. And if we can strike a big deal among those three countries, possibly with the ultimate recognition of Israel and the absence of hostilities between Israel and Iran, bringing in Saudi Arabia closer to Iran, which deals with the Sunni-Shia split, we have a way over the longer term of relieving pressure both in Syria and in Iraq. And quite frankly, the situation, if we really believe that ISIS, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, are worse threats than Bashar al-Assad, then maybe Assad ought to be allowed to stay in power and quash that rebellion as a way of dealing with ISIS. Now, unfortunately, in the United States, it's going to be very difficult to come to some kind of a consensus as to who's the most evil and do something rationally. But my argument would be, let's look at an indirect strategy. Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Israel are the keys to this. There's very little that we should be doing in Iraq. Iraq has security forces of about 900,000, many of whom are well-trained. I think that that situation will stabilize. The downside, Kate, is unfortunately that this is going to empower Nouri al-Maliki to become even more powerful as the next prime minister. He's currently prime minister, but the elections were held April 30th. And so he's going to be empowered, which is going to complicate things. Let's just take a deep breath, see how things play out in Iraq before we commit to do anything, and work with the other countries to try to build some kind of a buffer or containment to prevent this from spreading.
What Nouri al-Maliki was, he wasn't the right guy to begin with. Do you remember when he came to Washington, it was a couple of years into this, and he was talking to somebody from the Washington Post, and he said that, geez, I don't want this the next time around. I'm kind of stepping away from this. And there he is, the guy that's been at the center since the beginning. I don't understand why there wasn't a push to perhaps find someone better. But then as I say that, I guess it was all about those elections, right?
Look, the Bush administration got into this mess, and the Obama administration tried to get us out, and they both failed badly. Maliki was a villain. He was a Shia version of Saddam Hussein without all the nasty characteristics, and we knew that from going on. Why we would believe Maliki is beyond my comprehension. There's a great fistfight going on in Washington right now. In essence, who lost Iraq? Because we got out. And, of course, the Democrats are saying it was George W. Bush who failed to sign the Status of Forces Agreement. And John McCain is saying, well, he was in a room with Maliki when Maliki said the Americans could stay. The problem is, why would you believe Maliki? This guy is not trustworthy. He'll say anything to empower himself. And we're sort of stuck with it. And so, therefore, I think the smartest thing we can do for the time being is let events play out over the next week or two. The Shia militia will rally, and I think they will take on the insurgents. What you have to realize is that this is a civil war. The number of insurgents are relatively small, in the thousands, but what they have done, because they are in the Sunni north, they have gathered together all of Saddam Hussein's boys who got thrown out of the army in 2003, who were still fed up. And so what you see is a civil war in which the Sunnis are rebelling against the government Shia-led in Baghdad. That will take time to work out. It's not as if we had German panzer divisions racing through France or racing into Iraq. What you have is a relatively small insurgent opposition, which is being very much supported by the Sunnis in the north, who have very, very real grievances. That has got to play out. And I don't think that Maliki is going to put in place a government of reconciliation, because he's using this as a crisis to empower himself, which he has done from the very beginning. So do we want to get engaged in this right now, where if we drop the first bomb on top of the Sunnis, we're going to make ourselves known as enemies to the Sunnis? I don't think so. So let's just play a waiting game. We have other options, and let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, I mentioned at the top that Dr. Ullman, of course, is the principal architect of the doctrine of shock and awe, and we know that to be the military strategy for invading Iraq. And
Oh, no. I want to correct you. The shock and awe that was used in Iraq was not within light years of what we had proposed. Shock and awe in Iraq was basically a slogan that was adopted by General Tommy Franks. The shock and awe that we had proposed was based on the ability to affect, influence, and control will of perception of the adversary. And what you wanted to do was start with the outcome that you wanted to achieve and then use all the elements of power. What we saw in the first and the second Iraq wars, the United States went in with massive advantages, overwhelmed the enemy, and then forgot about what happened next. Mm-hmm. If shock and awe had been applied as we had wanted it to be, we would say, okay, the outcome we want is a fairly stable, peaceful Iraqi state under the rule of law. Now, how do you do that? And the military aspects would have been a small part. And one of the things we would not have done was to decommission the Iraqi army. We would have put somebody in charge of Iraq, the proconsul, who knew what he was doing, and Jerry Bremer was not the right guy. And we would have moved much more quickly in terms of the economic issues that would have made Iraq into a much more viable state. So what you got was a sound and light show. It was American overwhelming military superiority. And then we forgot what it was all about. And the subsequent occupation became a catastrophe. And unfortunately, the withdrawal just compounded that problem.
So as you proposed that, and you had to be pretty disappointed that it didn't get carried out to fruition then.
If you could sue the U.S. government for libel, we would have done so.
Wow. I'm glad you cleared that up. Wow. That's amazing. Because you know that this gets said all the time, and that's interesting. And it's so opposite. It's nice to know that that payoff didn't happen, because that makes much more sense as you just explained it to us, certainly.
Well, I opposed the war. I was one of the very few, the second Iraq war, arguing, yeah. I don't believe that the Iraqis had weapons of mass destruction. It was overwhelming evidence that they didn't. Unfortunately, the Bush administration was determined to impose democracy to change the strategic landscape of the Middle East, and boy, did they ever. And unfortunately, we're living with those sins right now, and it's not going to get better for some time to come, I'm afraid.
Wow. Dr. Ullman, we're out of time. It was terrific having you on. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for joining us on America's
Side. Coming out called A Handful of Bullets, How the Murder of Archduke Franz Ferdinand Still menaces the peace. 100 years ago, Ferdinand was killed. World War I started. Are there similarities today, and how do we deal with them? And this book addresses how do you fix the problems that prevent another World War I-like situation breaking out on a regional basis.
Cool. Next time you come on, we'll go deeper into that whole theory and explore
it. Terrific.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
All right, we're making our final turn here on this Hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I said that we would tell you about the USA and, frankly, what happened at the tail end of that game, which was amazing if you were watching it. The United States ties Portugal to a piece. They square it up. And with that 2-2 draw, it's kind of a saving thing for Portugal. And it's unfortunately a missed opportunity for the United States, but it doesn't mean that the United States is out of it by any stretch of the imagination. It's crazy because they got off to a rocky start when they gave up a goal right in the very beginning, just 5 minutes into the game, they gave up a goal. And then they were able to come back, the Americans were, and they had some incredible moments, and including the go-ahead goal in the 81st minute from Clint Dempsey. It was an amazing goal. They were 30 seconds away from closing the whole thing out. Then Ronaldo, who, of course, is the player that so many people know, who is the reigning World Player of the Year, who was offside so many times in that game. He got free on the right side of the field, sent a perfect cross just right across the field to the head of Varela, who, boom, nailed it past the American goaltender, who's been pretty darn good, Tim Howard. And poor Howard, he looks so crushed, and his teammates did as well. I mean, what a cruel ending to what was an incredible, incredible game. Now, after moving forward, now whatever what's happened here, now they go on to Thursday's match against Germany, knowing pretty much a tie sends both teams into the knockout, what they call the knockout stage. And the U.S. could advance with a loss if Portugal and Ghana tie in a game that will be played simultaneously. So there's some scenarios working here. Matt, you obviously were like me. You were watching this, and it was so exciting. It was so amazing. And then that goal at the tail end with 30 seconds left in the whole thing was just shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little punch to the gut there, but I think going into the game, if you would say that they'd end up in a draw, you'd probably be pretty pleased with that, and especially giving up the goal 5 minutes in, coming away with a draw, you're quite pleased. But then when you look at how the last part of that second half played out, where we were controlling the play, we get the goal, then we're controlling the ball all over the field, it's definitely, you know, a negative thing where you have Michael Bradley, who is the son of Bob Bradley, the former coach. He's a very smart player, makes a turnover in the center of the field, and then Ronaldo, the best player in the world, comes down and does what he does, and they get this goal. And it's just, it was literally, they needed an extra 25, 30 seconds, and that game would have been over. The U.S. would have won, and we'd be talking about them advancing past the group play. So, I don't know. It's a little disappointing, but at the same time, we're still in a good position.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they have to move on from this game and just move beyond it, because that's what you do. You know, this is their World Cup players, and they've played phenomenally. And as you said, normally heading into this, if you said it was a draw, that would be fine. But it was just the way that they played and how the Americans were just looked incredible, and how the coaching moves, the substitutions, everything that happened was going the way for the U.S. at the moments when they needed it, and unfortunately the victory was snatched away from them. But that's kind of been the story of this World Cup. So if you've watched the World Cup at all, then you know why it's been pretty exciting. As I said, many people who really don't even watch sports are watching this because of the United States and wanting to cheer for the guys from the United States, to cheer for our team, or just to be intrigued and be hooked into it. And because of that, I think they're starting to realize who some of these players are and their backgrounds, which they're very good at doing that, ESPN, putting that all together. And, you know, so they have a draw and they move on, and let's see what happens against Germany. It would be something if they beat Germany. It would be amazing, because Germany is an incredible team, but it's not an impossibility. Nothing is impossible. Just ask Michelle Wee about that. I know you've heard her name before. Michelle Wee won the U.S. Women's Open title. Very unlikely her career has been, because she was the biggest star in women's golf for a time coming up when she was a teenager. And she said afterwards she just can't even think straight. It was a two-shot win over Stacey Lewis to get her first major prize. Her first major prize. I even saw a tweet that she sent out where she had buckled in the trophy and said it's all buckled in. And the final three holes at Pinehurst, same thing. Lots of ups and downs. She was, was she going to close it out or not close it out? But she did. She did it when she had to do it. She had a 25-foot, imagine that, a 25-foot birdie putt on 17 that was pretty scary. And it fell. She made it. She did it. She did what she had to do. So good for Michelle Wee. Because I can just remember when she first came on the scene, and she's had the chance to win when she was a 15-year-old amateur, when she was a 16-year-old. Same thing. And then she had some injuries she had to deal with. I mean, she's been one of the
biggest names that's been out there since she was 13. At 13 years old, if you remember, and played in the final group of a major. So everybody was talking about her, and now she's a Stanford grad, and she's a much different Michelle Wee than the little girl that started playing and was bashful about interviews and that kind of stuff. But a huge, huge win for her. Finally gets that victory. Now, I said there was another aspect to the world of sports that, unfortunately, it made huge news, the police blotter-style kind of news. And it's a soccer star, Hope Solo, who was arrested on domestic assault charges. What happened was, it happened early Saturday. She was assaulting her sister, allegedly her sister, and her nephew. And the police said, I read the report, they said it was so loud and it was so crazy when they arrived. And if you think of who Solo is, just let me remind you, she was a former Olympian. She was, she's a goaltender, and here she was at home in Seattle, Washington, and she just went nuts on apparently her family, allegedly assaulted the sister and the 17-year-old. Cops responded to a 911 call for a disturbance. They said that the woman wouldn't stop hitting people or leave the house. They heard the noise inside. She was trashed. They said appeared intoxicated and upset. They had visible injuries. They interviewed a bunch of witnesses. They determined that she was the primary aggressor, is what they called it, and had instigated the assault. So now her attorney has come out and said, well, this is not, this, she's innocent. It's not what it seems. But she's married to, it's just like a Jerry Springer saga, I think I said earlier in the hour. She's married to a former NFL player, Jeremy Stevens, who played, who had his own woes. And she got a huge name, I think, from her Olympic women's appearances. And she was even on Dancing with the Stars, if you can remember that. She's had lots of controversy in her life. I can remember her telling someone who interviewed her that, oh, she just gets a bad rap and her public image isn't what it should be and all this other kind of stuff. But, she tested positive for a banned substance at one point, and she's had a string of different things that have plagued her. And, of course, now this is the latest thing. Very, very strange. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.